Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into another episode of the Betting Predators, where it's our job to hunt down the best bet for you. I am your host today, Justin Rodriguez here. You can find me on Twitter at CoachJRod1. Coming off of his bye week, you should say, I'm joined by my uncle, the great Dave Essler. You can find him on Twitter at Dave_Essler. We are missing Sleepy this week, so we're back to just a tandem here. Sleepy has some business to do with some bigwigs out in Las Vegas. I think he's just laying down some massive NBA future bets in person to kind of push his weight around over there. But Uncle Dave, I have some hostile Nebraskans here. When I told them that you were going for higher ground, I said that I offered for you to come and stay with me, and your response was you'd rather float at sea for a week than spend one night in Nebraska, and people are not happy about it.
Well, I don't know, you're probably paraphrasing a little bit there, Justin. I don't think I would say that directly. The implication might have been there.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, a lot of people obviously miss you. You're the smartest guy of the trio. Everything safe and sound in your neck of the woods now?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we got out of that hurricane relatively unscathed. And it was interesting how much a difference a few miles make, because not too far south of here, they didn't. And obviously considerably further south, they got destroyed. So, you know, prayers for them, and thanks for not letting it happen to us, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the trade-off, I guess, if you want to live in the luxury weather of the great state of Florida and not pay those income taxes. I guess you got to dip, dive, and dodge for maybe a couple weeks out of the year. But I think we're glad that everybody's safe there on the home front. More importantly, that your house is good and that you're ready to go. So we're going to do a little old school style here. We got four games to break down. I'm going to just throw in my 2 cents and toss them up to you, because you're what the people want to hear. You ready for that?
I don't know about that, but thank you. And I'm ready for whatever you want to toss up, my friend.
All right, let's go. So let's talk about College Game Day. Where are they going? Lawrence, Kansas. You think they'd be taking on Kentucky this weekend in a matchup of two blue buds on the hardwood. But no, there's a football game in Lawrence. Texas Christian University, who is 4-0, number 17 in the country, they're going to be traveling to Kansas, 5-0 on the year, number 19 in the country. And Kansas, even though they've made it all the way this far, getting little to no respect, opening line on this game was 5, seeing it pushed all the way up to 7 here. TCU's obviously looked incredible coming off their win against Oklahoma, but I would have to say that we got to show a little bit love to the home team here in such a big spot when you consider national TV going to be there all day. We know Daniels is a great quarterback. We know Duggan is a great quarterback. Over under of almost 70. What are you thinking, Uncle Dave?
Tough one for me, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, who would have thought that these teams would both be ranked in the top 20 at any point in the season? To me, I think it's a matter of who's going to handle the spotlight better, because, as you said, game day is coming to town. And in my opinion, this is a game based on whether Kansas gets overhyped in the national spotlight and whether they can handle it, or whether Lance keeps them grounded and focused. You know, I think TCU expected to be here. Most of the preseason expectations had them out picking their coverage, as it was, and they have. And, you know, people have kind of made a living betting on both of these teams. Well, something has to give here. My problem with Kansas is they haven't really played a worthy opponent yet. And they snuck by Iowa State with only 213 yards of offense. You know, that won't get her done against the Frogs, who obviously they dismantled Oklahoma. But was that a Sooner team that the week prior also lost at home to K-State? So that win over Oklahoma looked impressive. You know, was it really? I don't know. Obviously, early bettors don't see it any other way, because they pushed this to TCU -7. And at that point, I will consider Kansas in as much as I wanted to take TCU. But I think the better numbers might be gone. I think the thing is that the Jayhawks only run 59 plays per game. That's like 122nd in the NCAA. And so if they get behind, my question is, do they have the offense to come back? I'm not so sure. On the other side, TCU is not a fast-paced team by any means. So what I'm really considering more than anything is the under. You know, that's an ass load of points. You know, I think betting the under is a bet that needs 10 touchdowns to lose. And that's just not Kansas, really. You know, maybe the first half under is a better move. We'll see. But You know, Eddie Kanz's bet for me is probably also a first half play if I were to take a side. So in summation, lean Kansas first half and lean under for the game.
Yeah, I think this is just going to be a great one to watch as a fan. We were all over TCU last week. Me and Sleepy were when they were catching points at home against Oklahoma. That offense is just absolutely unreal to this point. As you said, you know, who is Oklahoma? We're not quite sure, but I don't think Kansas defense is going to be anybody that we're going to have to be worried about in this game. I do think that Kansas is somewhat fortunate to be in this position. They've could have easily lost two games, and some might have said that they should have even lost last game if it wasn't for some horrible special teams by Iowa State. But I think this is just a game I'm going to enjoy as a fan for sure. We're going to go ahead and move on. Now, this is one of my favorite games of the early slate. I think this week is going to be very exciting for the fans. We have number 8 Tennessee, 4-0. They're traveling down to the Bayou against Louisiana State University. LSU is number 25 in the country. They're 4-1 on the year. Uncle Dave, since their first game debacle against Florida State, LSU has been quietly putting together a really impressive resume. They got wins over Auburn on the road, which although we know Auburn isn't who they used to be, but winning there is no easy task. And then against Mississippi State, and then they've done what they had to do against some lesser teams. But it seems like this is a matchup against two quarterbacks, okay? Hooker and Daniel, they've both been almost perfect on the year. Hooker has been having an excellent last 2 years. Tennessee finally got over the hump and beat Florida, but they haven't beat LSU in their last 5 tries. Is this the week that they do it, or do you feel some home cooking for LSU?
Yeah, this is another tough one. I mean, all these games that we're going to do are tough. I mean, I guess that's why we're doing them, to give our opinions, but you know, I'm not quick to jump on road favorites in the SEC. You know, it's just tough to win on the road in any conference, but in the SEC, it's really tough. And the early market leads towards LSU. But they didn't roll over Auburn as a lot of people expected. I mean, yeah, they won, but barely. And they didn't cover the -8. So my knock on the Tigers in that game is, on the LSU Tigers, is that Auburn in that game had over 160 yards of offense. And LSU only averaged 3.6 yards per play. You know, if Auburn doesn't have 4 turnovers, LSU doesn't win that game. I mean, you know, let's just call a spade a spade. You know, Tennessee's off a bye, which I think is kind of huge to me. And the fact is they've played and won a tough road game at Pitt already. So, you know, they do have a little bit of, you know, it's not their first rodeo, I guess. And, you know, with that said, they do have Alabama next week. And normally I would say look ahead, but, you know, I digress to the bye trumping that, I think. And, you know, we know the Vols have an elite offense. The Tigers have an elite defense. Both teams are allowing exactly 3 yards per rush. So I think it's going to come down to who can throw the ball, as you mentioned, the quarterbacks. I mean, LSU, Daniels is sacked on over 9% of his dropbacks. So, Hooker is more pro-style. I'd probably trust him more. Daniels is an elite athlete and can and will run. So quarterback's probably a wash, maybe. Defense probably close to a wash. So then it came down to, well, do I trust Heupel or Kelly? And I actually trust Heupel more, but with Daniels and Brian Kelly not being overly predictable, I don't really see a huge advantage. So I would probably make this game a pick on a neutral field. So if I'm taking a side, I reluctantly have to agree with the market and take LSU. Less reluctantly if this was a night game. You know, it's an 11 a.m. Central game, noontime Eastern game. So that sort of, you know, night game mystique is not there. But I think I'm going to pass the side. But what I do see, or what I don't see, is 64 points being scored with these two defenses. So my favorite pick in this game is the under far more than either side, Justin.
Wow, we're on under club first 2 games. Yeah. You know, another one. This is, you know, I wish they kind of did flex scheduling. And I know with college football, they really can't. But with both teams coming in as hot as they are, and obviously, you know, the schedule makers, not that they really look at this, but they didn't know what LSU was going to be with Kelly in his first year. But man, if this was a night game, I would absolutely give the edge to LSU. But like you mentioned, Tennessee coming off a bye, they're going to be rested, locked and loaded. That 11 a.m. start is not going to hurt anybody except for the hungover fans. fans that are in the stands. I really like Tennessee here. It was almost a play for me, kind of a square play, but I just think they're on a team on a mission. And with LSU already having the one loss, I'm not saying they're going to play at less hard. Obviously, they're in front of their home fans. They're going to want to win. But I think Tennessee has just different aspirations for this season. So I'm on Tennessee there. And the defenses do stick out to me. I will go with your under. The only thing that scares me is Tennessee is giving up 300 yards per game in the air, which could lead to a shootout, maybe. But my track record against going against my uncle is never good, so I'm not going to go that way. I'll go ahead and lean the under with you. We're going to go over to the pack. 12, 16. I think they're going to have about four teams left after all this reconfiguration is done. And we're talking about UCLA here. They're going to be hosting Utah. Utah is 4-1 on the year, number 11 in the country. UCLA, a perfect 5-0, number 18. Uncle Dave, I told you I wanted to let you rip and run on all of these, but I have to come up with a best bet. And I don't know if you listened to the pod, probably you didn't last week. You have a lot going on, but my best bet last week that hit was Utah, and I'm going to stay on them. Line right now is -3.5. Sometimes you can find it at -4 at certain books, but if you want to split the difference, that's fine with me. It doesn't make a difference on my analysis of this game. I think this is just too, incorrectly painted teams. Utah, since they came off the loss to Florida, they've been absolutely perfect. They've been curb stomping every single team that's come in their way. And UCLA, I feel like, is one of the biggest frauds in the country and one of the biggest frauds of a conference in the country. They beat Bowling Green. Okay, great. Then they beat Alabama State. Great. Southern Alabama, they should have lost. They snuck away with that one. They beat Colorado. Okay. And then they beat an overrated Washington team on prime time at home. They had that game actually in control for three quarters. And then all of a sudden they even let Washington start to come back as they figured things out. Utah was a playoff team for me early in the season, although they did get upset in that really tight situation in Florida, a very emotional Florida team with Billy Napier, blah, 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 blah. I think they were a victim of the circumstances. I think that these two teams are far more than 4 points apart. Utah's defense is the elite prospect here on the field. They could run the ball. They're smash mouth football. They have a great quarterback in Rising. He has almost 1200 yards on the year with 13 touchdowns, only two interceptions. He doesn't turn the ball over. We have, I think, 10th year starter Dorian Thompson Robinson for UCLA, who has looked nice, but he's not faced the defense or a team as talented as Utah. I think this is just going to be a pros versus Joes type deal. And I do see a lot of money coming on UCLA as a cute pick, but I think that they're frauds, Uncle Dave. I like Utah to roll here.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, buddy. I mean, that line's about where I expected it to be. I mean, they're not going to make Utah underdogs here, even on the road. And with all the preseason expectations, you know, even with the Florida luck, lost out, the public will love them and hate UCLA. And with that said, I'd love to find reasons to take the home dog, but you know, there is little doubt that UCLA's home field advantage is in the negative column. I mean, you know, consider this, they had 27,000 fans for their opener against Bowling Green. They had, and then the students moved in, they draw 34,000, which is 7,000 drunk students for Alabama State. And what makes it matters worse is, you know, 34,000 is a lot for some people, but that makes that stadium about one third full. So I looked at this game as if it was on a neutral field. And the Bruins, they have a bye next week while Utah's back at home to USC. So I think the situation does give UCLA a slight advantage. But, you know, back to the matchup, I mean, Utah would prefer to run the ball. But, you know, UCLA is actually a pretty good run defense. They only allow 2.7 yards per rush. Maybe we have to mitigate that a little bit with who they played. And UCLA would prefer to throw the ball, but Utah, they're 18th in opponents' completion percentage, and they've actually played decent teams. So I can't really find a huge advantage on either side of the ball as far as matchup stats are concerned. So ultimately, I would defer to who has the better coach, quarterback, and defense. And, you know, easily give the defense to the Utes. I mean, there's no question about it. I almost call it a wash between Rising and Thompson there, you know, kind of like the LSU game. They're totally different styles. So that's kind of a wash. I have to give the coaching edge, obviously, to Whittingham. I mean, Kelly seems to have the Bruins headed in the right direction. And he's done it before, but he's still under 504 plus years at UCLA. And, you know, it comes down to trust, and, you know, that would be Whittingham for me, no question. With all that, I can't take UCLA. And what gets me to the Utes, I think, is they've already played a big time road game in Florida. I like Utah a lot, and possibly the first half under, because Utah's not going to want to shoot out. You know, they're going to opt to, you know, short passes and possession of the ball if they can run. So I kind of like the first half under, because maybe both teams figure shit out in the second half. But I think the first half is going to be under. But, yeah, I'm with you. I like Utah as well.
Yeah, I just think that, like I said, you know, it's nothing against Chip Kelly or UCLA, but I did have it here in my notes. I just forgot to mention it. Thank you for bringing it up. There's no home field advantage whatsoever, even with the team being undefeated at this point. And I think that game in Florida really is going to prepare them for Thompson and a running quarterback. I think that they've just shaped up so well over the course of the season. And I think this is the team that we all thought that they would be. Last and final game, Uncle Dave, we got BYU Cougars. They're 4-1 on the year. They're going to be facing the aforementioned Notre Dame, who is very disappointing, 2-2 on the year. This is going to be a neutral site game in Allegiant Stadium. Now, Uncle Dave, you know I'm partial to people who play in Allegiant Stadium, but that's going to make hesitation or factor in who I'm deciding here. Notre Dame, obviously, they've lost to Marshall, big loss there. And then Ohio State in the opener, they barely beat Cal. And then I finally went against them against UNC, and then UNC let me down. That was the ultimate pros versus Joes. You guys were both on Notre Dame, I believe, you and Sleepy, and I took the sucker bait for UNC. Cougars are nice on the year. Like I said, 4-1, led by quarterback Hall, who has almost 1,500 passing yards, 12 touchdowns to one interception. Is this going to be the Notre Dame team that we thought they were at the beginning of the season or even after the Ohio State game? Or is this going to be a hungry BYU Cougar team that's going to take advantage of a down and, may I say, my personally opinion, poorly coached Fighting Irish team?
Tough one. And I'm going to probably take Notre Dame. I really want to get three. You know, when I looked at this game, you know, first off, you know, the Irish stock has never been any lower. So for me, it's a big buy low situation. And with as well as they travel, they probably have the edge in fans in Vegas. They probably have more athletes. So one would think that on artificial turf, their team speed should be a tangible advantage over BYU. And another trigger for me is that the ranked team is a legit underdog to the unranked team. I mean, that's, you know, that's usually for a reason. I mean, Notre Dame's had extra prep time. And in that Irish game at North Carolina, the scoreboard looks one way, like a close game, but not so much. You know, in the third quarter, they were up 3 scores. I think they ended up with 35 first downs to 18 for the Tar Heels, and they controlled the ball for over 38 minutes. So it was a pretty dominant win. And, you know, I know the BYU game was against pitiful Utah State. That was kind of a look-ahead spot, but, you know, they allowed the Aggies over 200 yards on the ground, and that's just unacceptable. And obviously, you know, running is what the Irish do, which is why I was big on them when they played the Tar Heels. Now, here's the thing, a couple of things you mentioned, but, you know, Notre Dame lost to Ohio State, but they played them as tough as anyone will all year, and they beat the good Tar Heels team on the road. Both those games are on the road. And, you know, BYU barely beat a Baylor team at home, and that's a Baylor team that just lost at home to Oklahoma State. So, you know, the only top team they faced is Oregon. And that's another one that they made the score look more respectable than the game. They were down 38-7 entering the fourth quarter. And, you know, people might be looking to fade Notre Dame, still basing their opinion on the Marshall loss and the lackluster win over Cal. I mean, you can find reasons not to bet on every team, but I'll bet on the Irish based on the Ohio State and North Carolina games. The Ohio State game wasn't as bad as people think, and, you know, the North Carolina game was worse than people think. So I actually like Notre Dame here, and I didn't think I would going in. You know, I'm all about underdogs, but I just couldn't get there.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't get a read. This is a pass for me. It seems like every week that I pick on or against Notre Dame, something just always seems to go wrong. I don't know about their offense, their coach, their defense. I don't know about the motivation. It seems like BYU would be in a highly more motivated spot in this situation at this venue, but I'm just not sure. Uncle Dave, last year, we had a nice little segment at the end of the games, and I'm going to pop it up on you now that we're done with our four game slate. Do you have any pizza bets for the fans? Just something to throw on for the degenerates out there, because I actually like your Gamecocks this week.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one. Let me see. Let's see. Purdue Maryland under looks like a winner.
Okay.
Virginia looks like a winner, but I would get three.
Any Red River rivalry or Red River?
Oh, I'm just reading market stuff here.
No, I know.
What's interesting is that even after that North Carolina game, they've made Miami favorites three, and it's gone up to 3.5. So I might think that Miami money line is pretty solid. What else can I find going down here? Boy, that Florida State game, I hate it. I hate a lot of the games, to tell you the truth. Iowa State, Kansas State. I mean, I kind of like Kansas State and their road favorites kind of for a reason. And I was one of those people. I think I have the Iowa State win total under. So I would have to, just based on that, take Kansas State. I thought I would like Fresno State, but that line went from 7 down to 6.5. Now it's back up to 7.5. So I will pass on that. What else we got going on? Let's see. Texas and Oklahoma, that's an interesting one. I mean, if anybody's going to bring out any goodness in Oklahoma, it's going to be Texas.
I always like playing those overs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd have to pass. Honestly, I don't like laying 3.5 touchdowns, but I think Nick has it out for Jimbo this year. I just got a feeling that Alabama's going to just stomp the shit out of Texas A&M. I mean, on paper, they should anyway, but
We don't know if the quarterback's playing for Alabama, do we, yet, or?
No. Well, I'm assuming that he is. Obviously, if he's not, you'll see that line move, but I'm assuming that he is. Iowa-Illinois is a tough one. You have to like the under there, even at 36.5. Illinois actually has a really good defense. A lot of people that don't follow the Big Ten don't really see that. And everybody knows Iowa has a good defense and can't score. So it's tough for me to lay 3.5 points, but I think that one stays under. And, that's probably it for me.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it. Any advice from Uncle Dave is obviously the best advice. Guys, this has been a great week. Hopefully, last week we were 1-1 in our best bets. Oh, Uncle Dave, I guess you didn't specify, and I'm not gonna, if you don't have one, I'm not going to force you to make one, but we're on the TCU under. We like that. We like the Tennessee under. We both like Utah. Utah was my best bet, -3.5 or 4. I like it either way, and you're on Notre Dame. Do you have a best bet of those four, or
no? No, probably not. But, if you made me pick my favorite and what somebody had to bet one game, I think I would probably go with your Utah pick.
Okay. Well, that's a strong vote of confidence from my uncle there, which I'll always take. Guys, you can always find Uncle Dave's work at pregame.com. Make sure you guys go over there and support him. He's got picks up daily. He doesn't only do college football. You can find him doing basketball and football and NFL and probably cricket, late night Indian cricket, or maybe some Australian rugby.
2-0 baseball sweep this afternoon.
Oh, there you go. Well, hopefully you didn't pick against.
I just need Central Florida and SMU to stay under, and I'll be able to sleep tonight.
I'm on SMU +3 there, Uncle Dave. So really good offense there.
Looking okay.
Yeah, not too bad yet, but you never count those chickens before they hatch. Guys,
I had a game. I had an under the other day. And, I think it's just, for argument's sake, the under was 60. And 3 quarters, they combined to score like, 20 points, and then they scored 41 points in 1 quarter. So, anything can and will go wrong with those things.
Lord knows at this point in your career, Uncle Dave, you weren't even watching that game. You just probably woke up to it and didn't even know the circumstances.
No, I was following it. I follow most of them. I don't watch too many live. I'll watch them after the fact to see what really happened. But, you know, you can see the box score in that. I mean, some of the ones we talked about today, you look at the outcome and you go, well, wow, that was one way. But you look at the box score, totally another. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, and sadly, what you see one week is not always what you see the following week. And that's why people lose money. You know, they assume a team's going to continue to play like shit, or assume a team is going to mop the floor with everyone, you know, and that just doesn't happen. So that's why it's 24/7 to try to keep up with it.
Yeah, I tend to bet like that in the NFL, just opposites. Whoever looked great one week, I just like to bet against them the next.
Yep.
But, guys, we appreciate you listening. Hopefully, Sleepy will be back with us next week. Uncle Dave is all safe and sound in his mansion there in South Florida, so he's good to go. You know I'm always going to be here. Guys, once again, please make sure you guys go check out bettingpredators.com, where they have picks, analysis, not only on betting, but fantasy, props, daily fantasy, tons of great information over there. Make sure you guys go support that. And then, once again, make sure you guys go support Sleepy and Uncle Dave at pregame.com. They have picks up daily to help you make the best possible wagers for all of you listeners. You can find Uncle Dave on Twitter at Uncle Dave underscore at Dave underscore Essler, and you can find me at Coach J Rod One. We will see you next week.